The first cannon salvo had jarred the timbers of the hull and startled Verity awake. The Arcturus had come to battle stations so silently that in her barred cabin she had not realized what was happening on deck until this moment. She scrambled from her bunk and turned up the wick on the lantern that hung on gimbals from the deck above. She scrambled from her bunk and turned up the wick on the lantern that hung on gimbals from the deck above. She reached for her clothing and pulled on a cotton shirt and the breeches she preferred to skirts and petticoats when she needed freedom of movement. She was busy with her boots when the hull heeled sharply to the next broadside of cannon. She ran to the door of her cabin and beat upon it with her fists. "Let me out!" she screamed. "Open this door!" But there was no one to hear her. She picked up the heavy silver candelabrum from the table and tried to break open the door panels so that she could reach the locking bar on the outside, but the sturdy teak timbers resisted her efforts. She was forced to give up and retreat to the far side of her cabin. She opened the porthole and peered out. She knew that escape by this route was hopeless. She had considered it many times during the weeks of her captivity. The surface of the sea creamed by close below her face, and it was 6 feet to the rail of the deck above her. She gazed out into the night and tried to follow the battle by the flare and flicker of gunfire. She caught glimpses of the other ship that was engaging them, and recognized it at once as the Revenge. She could see no sign of Mansair's ship. She winced every time the cannon salvos roared out from the deck above her cabin, or when an enemy ball crashed into their hull. The battle seemed to rage interminably, and her senses were dulled by the uproar. The stench of burnt powder permeated her cabin like some dreadful incense burned to the god Mars, and she coughed in its acrid fumes. Then, suddenly, she saw another dark apparition appear silently out of the darkness, another ship. "The Sprite," she whispered, and her heart bounded. "Mansair's ship." She had thought never to see it again. Then it began to fire upon them, and she was so excited that she felt no fear at all. One after another, the iron round shot smashed into the Arcturus, and each time she shuddered to the strike. Then, abruptly, Verity was flung to the deck as a ball ripped through the bulkhead beside her doorway, and the cabin was filled with smoke and wood dust. When it cleared, she saw that the door had been shot away. She jumped to her feet, clambered through the wreckage, and forced her way out into the open passageway. She heard the hand-to-hand fighting on the deck above her as the crew of the Sprite boarded the ship over her port rail. The shouts and cries mingled with the clash of steel blades and the report of pistols and muskets. She looked about her for a weapon, but there was nothing. Then she saw her father's door stood open. She knew he kept his pistols in the drawer of his desk and hurried to it. Now she stood directly below the skylight, and her father's voice carried clearly through the opening. "This powder trail runs to the ship's main powder magazine," he shouted. A deathly silence fell over the Arcturus's deck, and Verity froze. "I will strike this ship and blow up every one of you with it," her father screamed again. "As God is my witness, I shall do it." "Guy," Verity recognized the voice that answered him. "I am your brother, Dorian Courtney." "I know it well," Guy yelled back. "Verity has confessed her deceit and complicity to me. That will not save you." "No, Guy," Dorian cried. "You must not do it." "There is naught you can say to dissuade me," Guy shouted back. Verity listened to no more. She dashed out into the passage and immediately saw the thick trail of black powder running down the treads of the companionway and along the passage to the lower deck and the magazine. "He is telling the truth," she cried aloud. "He truly means to strike the ship." She acted without hesitation. She seized one of the fire buckets that stood at the foot of the companionway. The ship's wooden hull was a mortal fire hazard, and the buckets filled with seawater were placed at every convenient point whenever the ship went into battle. Verity sloshed the water across the powder trail, washing a wide gap in it. She was only just in time. With a sizzling rush, the flames came shooting down the companionway, then checked in a cloud of blue smoke as they reached the gap she had made. She jumped upon them, stamping on the smouldering grains. Then she seized another bucket of seawater and emptied it over them. She made sure she had doused every spark before she ran up the ladder to the quarter-deck. "Father, this is madness!" Verity cried as she stepped out of the smoke behind him.
"I ordered you to remain in your cabin," he rounded on her. "You disobeyed me."
"If I had not, you would have blown me and yourself to glory," she shrieked at him, almost beside herself with terror at how close they had been to death. He saw how her clothing was scorched and blackened and sodden with seawater.
"You treacherous evil woman!" he screamed. "You have gone over completely to my enemies!"
He struck her full in the face with a clenched fist and sent her reeling across the deck until she crashed into the bulwark. She stared at him in horror and outrage. Since childhood she'd been accustomed to the beatings with his riding crop across her legs and buttocks when she displeased him, but only twice before had he struck her with his fist. She knew in that moment that she could never let it happen again. That had been the third and last time. She wiped her mouth with the back of her hand and glanced at the thick smear of blood from her torn lips. Then she turned her head and looked down onto the deck of the Sprite below her. The last grappling lines that held the two ships together parted, and the Sprite's sails filled with the night breeze. She began to bear away. Her deck was a shambles of shot damage. Some of her crew were wounded, others scurrying to their gun stations, and still more were jumping back into her from the taller side of the Arcturus as the gap between them widened. Then she saw Mansur below her on the deck of the Sprite, and despite her injuries and her father's rage, her heart hammered wildly against her ribs. During all the time since they had parted, she had tried to subdue her feelings for him. She had had no expectation of ever laying eyes upon him again, and thought she had succeeded in putting him out of her mind. But now, when she saw him again, handsome and tall in the light thrown by the burning rigging, she remembered the secrets he had imparted to her and the protestation of his feelings for her, and she could deny him no longer. In that same moment he looked up and recognized her. She saw his astonishment give way immediately to grim determination. He leapt across the deck of the Sprite to the wheel and shoved aside the helmsman. He seized the spokes and spun it in a blur back the opposite way. Sprite's turn away to port checked, and then she answered her rudder, turning back slowly. Once more her bows collided heavily with the Arcturus's midsection. But she did not rebound, for Mansur held the wheel over. She began to drag down the side of the larger vessel. Mansur shouted up at her, "Jump, Verity! Come to me!" For a long moment she remained frozen, and then it was almost too late.
"Verity, in God's name, you cannot deny me! I love you! Jump!"
She hesitated no longer. She came up on her feet as quick as a cat and sprang to the top of the bulwark, balancing there for an instant with her arms outspread. Guy realized what she was about and ran across the poop to stop her.
"I forbid it!"
he screamed and snatched at her leg, but she kicked away his hand. He grabbed a fistful of her shirt and she tried to pull free, but he clung on stubbornly. As they struggled, Mansur left the wheel and ran to the Sprite's side. He was directly below her, holding his arms wide in invitation.
"Jump!" he called. "I will catch you!"
She flung herself out over the ship's side. Her father did not release his grip, and her shirt ripped, leaving him holding a handful of cloth. Verity dropped into Mansur's arms, and her weight bore him to his knees. But he straightened and for a moment held her tightly to his chest. Then he set her on her feet and dragged her to safety. The crew's bundled hammocks had been piled along the bulwark as some protection from splinters and musket balls, and Mansur pushed her down behind this barricade. Then he ran back to the wheel and spun it the opposite way. The two ships drew apart swiftly. The Revenge had also disentangled herself and was under sail. The Arcturus was still ablaze, but Mansur saw Ruby Cornish striding down her deck, taking charge of the salvage. His men were swarming out of the hatchways again. Within minutes they had brought down the flaming canvas and doused it with seawater from the pumps. With her guns reloaded and run out, the Arcturus turned in pursuit of the Sprite once more, but her rigging was heavily damaged and Cornish had not had time to bring up new canvas from the sail lockers and bend it onto the bare, scorched yards. The Arcturus made slow progress through the water, and both the Sprite and the Revenge drew away from her. Then, as swiftly as it had arisen, the night wind died away. Almost as if they had anticipated the dawn, the clouds opened and allowed the paling stars to shine through. A hush descended on the ocean. The roiling surface seemed to freeze into a sheet of polished ice. All three of the battered ships slowed, then came to a gradual standstill. Even in the faint light of the stars, they were within sight of each other, becalmed, swinging slowly and aimlessly on the silent currents beneath that glassy surface. However, the Sprite and the Revenge were out of hail of each other, so Dorian and Mansa were unable to confer and decide their next course of action. "Let the men eat their breakfast as they work, but we must repair our damage swiftly. This calm will not last long." Mansa saw the work put in hand, then went to find Verity. She stood alone by the ship's side, staring across at the dim shape of the Arcturus. But she turned to him at once. "You came," he said. "Because you called," she replied softly, and held out her hand to him. He took it, and was surprised by how cool and smooth her skin was, how narrow and supple her hand. "There is so much I want to tell you." "We will have a lifetime for that," she said. "But let me savour this first moment to the full." They looked into each other's eyes. "You are beautiful," he said. "I am not, but my heart sings to hear you say it." "I would kiss you." "But you cannot," she answered. "Not under the eyes of your crew. They would not approve." "Fortunately, we will have a lifetime for that also."
"And I will rejoice in every minute of it."